The first day of this Satipatthana course is over. Understand the technique remains the same. Your practice remains the same. But the course is a special course in the sense that you will try to understand the words of the Enlightened One, the Buddha, with reference to the technique. Words of Buddha are words of Buddha. A fully enlightened person every word is so enlightening, full of wisdom. Every discourse of Buddha is so sweet, so precious. All the teachings of Buddha, all the discourses of Buddha, they are like a big sweet cake, whichever portion you cut and eat, you get the same taste, the taste of nectar, ambrosia. But we have chosen specially this discourse because it deals with the technique that you are practicing in detail. It is better that the serious old students try to understand the technique listening to the actual words of the Buddha himself, to understand what he wanted us to do and what we are doing, to understand the theoretical aspect of the practice more clearly, in more detail. And to come out of any confusion that one might have developed pertaining to the technique. Unfortunately, this has happened in some cases, big confusion. A few students, having taken a few courses, out of their enthusiasm, started teaching without getting proper training, without going in the subject deeply, and they started mixing so many things with the technique. It happened in the West, it also happened in India. In India, mostly by such people, who had great attachment to their own sectarian views, But they had no technique of meditation. They just attended a few courses, had a superficial knowledge of the technique, and then started teaching it, giving it a color of their own belief, sectarian, philosophical belief, and mixing up so many things. And when some of the Vipassana students go to them and take a course with them, they get very much confused. Because here is a student of Goenka who has taken courses in Vipassana and he has started teaching now. And look what he is teaching. Is this right or is that right? Great confusion. Such things has happened in the West also. In the West, a big confusion has arisen that people who are teaching in their own way, or we can say in different way, having the base of this technique, just to differentiate, they will say, what we are teaching is Satipatthana. And what you practice with Goenka is Vipassana. A big confusion. Satipatthana is Vipassana. Vipassana is Satipatthana. To get things clarified. And not only that, to understand Dhamma at a deeper level. Relating it to the words, the direct words of the Buddha, gives so much of inspiration. Gives guidance as to how we should practice. Therefore, the technique will remain the same. But the evening discourses will be different. Here we will go through this Satipatthana Sutta, a discourse, a very important discourse given by Buddha on this subject in detail. There are three aspects of Dhamma. We can say three important steps of Dhamma. The first is called Pariyatti. Understand, during these 8 days you will be hearing a number of Pali words. They will look very new to you. But slowly you will start understanding them. And later on a time will come when you will be able to develop even just a working knowledge of this language, the ancient language spoken by the Buddha. Then you will find every word is so inspiring. If you develop just the working knowledge of the language. And if you are a good Vipassana meditator, you will notice that as you go through the words of Buddha, it will look as if these words are said for me. Buddha himself is directing me. He's telling me how to practice. Every word will be so inspiring for you. But this is a beginning stage. Understand few words which will be helpful. The three steps. First, Pariyatti. This is adequate knowledge, sufficient knowledge of the teaching at the intellectual level. One has heard something. One has read something. The words of the enlightened person. Pariyatte. One who has heard the words of the enlightened person is called a suttava. Suttava, in Pali, suttava. One who has heard. One who has not heard at all. So difficult for this person to understand what Dhamma is. For this person, Dhamma will be just a sectarian belief, a sectarian philosophical belief. Maybe a rite, maybe a ritual, maybe a ceremony, a religious ceremony. And the whole life this person will remain involved in these things without understanding what Dhamma is. Because he never had an opportunity to hear the words of the enlightened person, read the words of enlightened person. He can never understand. Because he has never heard even, he won't understand that Dhamma is universal. For him, Dhamma will be just a religion. Oh, this is Buddhist religion. Or this is Hindu religion. Or this is a Christian religion. Or a Muslim religion. Or a Jewish religion. Dhamma will be understood by this person only in this way. But if he has heard what Dhamma is, then you will understand Dhamma is law, Dhamma is truth, Dhamma is nature, the natural law, which is universal. It cannot remain limited to a particular sect, a particular community. It is applicable on one and all. The law of nature, universal. Therefore, Suttava is a very fortunate person who has at least heard what Dhamma is, who has at least heard how to practice Dhamma, who has at least heard how to apply Dhamma in life. A fortunate person compared to one who is a suttava, who has never heard anything about the truth, the universal truth, the natural truth. This person remains confused because he has never heard even. One who has heard is certainly a fortunate person compared to one who has never heard. But merely hearing or merely reading the words of an enlightened person is not enough. It is very good to give inspiration. It is very good to give you guidance so that you start practicing. But you don't practice. You feel quite satisfied having heard. You feel quite satisfied having read it. Then it just becomes a devotional game for you. A devotional satisfaction. which may even become a hindrance for your liberation. You feel so satisfied having heard the words of pure Dhamma, having read the words of pure Dhamma, you feel so satisfied. Now I know everything. But actually, you don't know. You just accepted the truth because you never practiced it. Therefore, every sutva, everyone who has heard the words of pure Dhamma must start practicing. And for this the word is patipatti. First was pariyatti, a sufficient intellectual knowledge of Dhamma is pariyatti. Then patipatti, you start practicing it, the practice of Dhamma. As you might have heard in daily chantings, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, Savaka Sangho, the Sangha which is Savaka. Savaka is a sutva. The Sangha who has heard the teaching of Buddha, and now they start walking on the path, Supatipanno. They walk on the path properly. It is the walking on the path which will take you to the final goal, to your destination of full liberation, full enlightenment. Without patipatti, pariyatti alone cannot take you to the final goal. By pariyatti, by listening Dhamma, one starts understanding, yes, I must live the life of Dhamma. I must live the life of morality. I am a human being. And a human being is a social being. One has to live in the society. One has to live with the members of the family. How to live? One should not disturb the peace and harmony of the people around. How can I experience peace and harmony if I keep on disturbing the peace and harmony of others? Therefore, I should not perform any action, physical or vocal, which hurts and harms other beings. I should not perform such action. I should abstain from killing. I should abstain from stealing. I should abstain from sexual misconduct. I should abstain from speaking lies, speaking harsh words, speaking words of backbiting, speaking useless words, meaningless words, wasting my time, wasting time of others. I must abstain from that. I must abstain from taking any kind of intoxicants. One understands that. And one also understands, if one tries to understand the words of an enlightened person, one also understands that by abstaining such unwholesome actions, I am not obliging others. I am actually obliging myself. Because every time I perform any unwholesome action, physical or vocal, which goes against the interest of others, I cannot perform such actions unless I generate tremendous amount of impurity in my mind, craving, greed, hatred, aversion, ego, fear, some impurity or the other. And then only I perform vocal actions or physical actions which are unwholesome. And when I generate impurity in my mind, I have started harming myself. Oh, for this reason, I must live a life of morality. Sila is very important for me. One understands that. But then, for patipatti, for the actual practice, it becomes difficult, because unless one has control over one's own mind, one cannot abstain from such unwholesome actions, in spite of the fact that one understands at the intellectual level that such actions are no good for me, no good for others. And yet, because one has no mastery over the mind, one keeps on performing such unwholesome actions. Therefore, one learns how to control the mind. For Sila, one practices samadhi. For some time, under certain circumstances, in certain environments, like you come to a course, because of the environment around you and because of the program from morning till night, 9, 9:30, you are kept busy. You are not breaking any of the sila, but then you have to develop the mastery over the mind. And you start practicing samadhi. Patipatti. Patipanno. You started walking on the path. The second important section of Dhamma. First is pariyatti, the theoretical knowledge of Dhamma. The second is patipatti. But as one proceeds on the path properly, as an enlightened person wants you to proceed, you can control your mind in different ways. But if you have not controlled the mind in a proper way, then this controlling of the mind will not take you to the third step, and that is pativedhan. Another word for you, pativedhan. The literal meaning is piercing, penetrating. You develop your samadhi in such a way that the mind gets concentrated by observing the reality that you are experiencing, the reality pertaining to yourself, pertaining to the mind-matter phenomena. You start working with respiration, which is related to both the mind and the matter. And as you proceed further, you notice that you have got a very large stock, a very big accumulation of complexes, of impurities, deep inside. And although you are learning to control your mind, although you try to abstain from unwholesome physical and vocal actions, yet from time to time, these accumulated impurities come upon the surface and you get overwhelmed again. You are overpowered. So you have to reach that depth to take those impurities out. And that is pativetan. You have to witness the truth at the deeper level. There is a truth which we call panyate, the apparent truth. It appears to be so. This is a truth. It seems to be so. It appears to be so. This panyate, this apparent truth, has to be removed so that you are able to witness the ultimate truth. And this is possible if you remove the curtain which does not allow you to witness the truth behind this curtain. The curtain of the apparent truth is a barrier. You have to cut asunder this curtain, pierce, penetrate, remove it. And this is what is vipassana. We keep on giving explanation of vipassana in these words. Panyate thapetva visesena passati iti vipassana. Panyate thapetva. Removing the apparent truth. Removing the curtain of the apparent truth. You start moving towards the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth pertaining to this material structure which you keep on saying, I, mine, myself. The ultimate truth pertaining to the mental structure, the mind. The ultimate truth pertaining to the mental contents which you keep on saying, I, mine, myself. And beyond this mind and matter, the ultimate truth of Nibbana, the eternal truth, beyond the entire field of mind and matter. And this is possible only by this pativetan, moving piercingly, penetratingly, the apparent truth which has manifested itself in a very solidified way, intensified way, dividing it, dissecting it, disintegrating it, dissolving, you move towards the ultimate truths. Ultimate truth pertaining to the matter, ultimate truth pertaining to the mind, ultimate truth pertaining to the mental contents, and then piercingly, penetratingly, you pierce the entire field of mind and matter, and then you can witness something which is beyond mind and matter. Pativedhan. This practice of pativedhan, the piercing panya, the piercing wisdom, which is vipassana, this takes one to the final goal of full liberation. Therefore, these 8 days when you will be listening, this satipatthana, the purpose of hearing this sutta is, to hear this pariyatti is, to get inspiration, to get guidance for the next step, patipatti, and again to get inspiration, to get guidance, to take the next step, pativedhan. Pariyatti is merely theoretical knowledge, which is very helpful, no doubt. But that is not the end of it. Pariyatte, Patipatte, Pativedan, these three steps will cover the entire universe of wisdom. One who takes these three steps covers the entire universe of wisdom. These three steps have to be taken. This is what you keep on hearing in your discourses of 10 days. Suttamaya panya, chintamaya panya, and bhavanamaya panya. Suttamaya panya. You heard something about wisdom. It is not your wisdom, somebody else's wisdom. You heard it. Chintamaya panya. You used your intellect to understand it. You intellectualized whatever you heard. Both of these are not your panya, not your wisdom, somebody else's wisdom. You heard. You rationalized. Both are very good. But they are very good only if you take the third step, bhavanamaya panya. Then you are witnessing the truth yourself. Something is happening. And you are witnessing it. And you repeatedly keep on witnessing. This is how it develops. Your own wisdom starts developing. And it is the bhavanamaya panya which takes you to the final goal. In another tradition, we have the same three steps using three different words for them. The first is Sadda Satcha, the truth of the word. The word is a truth. People who become very fanatical, who develop a lot of attachment to their scriptures without even understanding what it is. For them, the word of the scripture is the truth. One must accept what the scripture says. Whether you understand or not, whether you experience or not, whether you witness or not, this is the truth. The word said by an enlightened person is the truth. The word in a particular scripture is a truth. Yes, even if it is a truth, it is not for you. It is a truth for somebody who witnessed it. You only heard. And you developed attachment to it. This is first Sadda Satcha. And the next Anumana Satcha. Now you start understanding it at the intellectual level by inference. Oh, it is so. Oh, that means it must be like this. Anumana. You see some smoke somewhere. Oh, there is smoke. So certainly there must be fire. You have not seen fire. You have seen smoke. And then you intellectualize it. Inference. There must be fire. Both of these can be illusionary. Can be delusionary. The third, Pachakha Satcha. Pachakha, you witness now. You have directly witnessed the truth yourself. And that truth is the real truth for you. That is going to help you. The entire teaching of an enlightened person is to inspire you so that you witness the truth yourself directly. Merely believing in what a Buddha said will not lead you to the final goal. It is essential, it is helpful, no doubt. But unless you witness yourself the ultimate truth, you can never be liberated. One who witnessed it became an enlightened person, became a Buddha. Everyone has to witness the truth oneself to become an enlightened person, to become a liberated person. With this understanding, you will be going through this Satipatthana Sutta. Every word of this sutta should generate inspiration in you, should give you proper guidance. You listen to the sutta, you understand it at the intellectual level, but at the same time, you have to witness. Every teaching of an enlightened person has to be witnessed by one who aspires to get liberated. Unless you witness yourself, you will not get liberated. This is what is taught in Satipatthana Sutta. Sati, the word sati means aware. You are aware because you are witnessing it. You are aware. Every reality within the framework of the body, every reality pertaining to the matter, every reality pertaining to the mind, you are aware. You are aware. But you are aware with proper understanding also, with proper wisdom also. Then only Satipatthana is Satipatthana. Thana is getting established. Your awareness gets established, patthana, in a proper way, in different ways. Pakarena is patthana. And when you practice vipassana, when you practice panya, we say pakarena yaneti ti panya. From different angles, you understand the reality, and then it is panya for you. If you witness the reality only from one angle, then what you are witnessing is only a partial truth. And partial truth is distorted truth. It can create difficulty for you. You have to try and observe, witness the totality of the truth. And that will be possible from different angles. Pakarena. And then it becomes panya. It becomes wisdom. So this sati, when it is joined with panya, then it becomes patthana. Therefore, with every time Buddha says sati, sato, he uses the word sampajano. When we go through the text, we will come to it. Sampajano, atapi, sampajano, satima. The sati, the awareness, the witnessing is perfect only when panya is there, when wisdom is there, when you can understand at the experiential level the nature of the reality which is manifesting itself. Its basic characteristic, the characteristic of anicca, look arising, passing, arising, passing. The characteristic of dukkha, look, hovering misery. Misery is there. Even you experience something very pleasant. By the practice of Panya, by the practice of Vipassana, it becomes so clear that, look, this also is misery. There is inherent misery in it because it is not permanent. Every pleasant experience changes into an unpleasant situation. Law of nature is such. So misery is inherent there. And with every pleasant experience that you have, the tendency is to develop attachment towards it. You start clinging to it. And when it is gone, because it's anicca, it is bound to go away. And when it goes away, you feel so miserable. That you will understand by your own experience. So it is dukkha, dukkha, dukkha. Whatever you experience within the framework of the body is nothing but dukkha, dukkha, dukkha. This is not a philosophy. This is the truth which one has to experience by pativedan, pativedan. Dukkha, dukkha. And then by this pativedan, dividing, dissecting, disintegrating, dividing, dissecting, disintegrating, dissolving, dissolving, one comes to the stage where one witnesses that this solidified material structure, this body, is actually nothing but subatomic particles, kalapa, kalapa. There is no solidity in it. One reaches the stage of bhanga, total dissolution. Every kalapa, every subatomic particle is arising, passing, arising, passing, arising, passing. And so also the mind manifests itself many a times in a very solidified way. The contents of the mind manifest themselves in a very solidified way. Very solidified emotion as a reason, anger as a reason, fear as a reason, passion as a reason. So intensified, so solidified, you get overwhelmed, you get overpowered. Vipassana helps you. Pativedan helps you. The penetrating, the piercing panya starts helping you. You divide, you dissect, you disintegrate, you divide, you dissect, you disintegrate, and this is the stage where you find that however intense this emotion might have been, it is nothing but wavelets, wavelets, wavelets. Material structure is wavelet, wavelet, wavelet. The mental structure is wavelet, wavelet, wavelet. The mental contents are wavelets, wavelets, wavelets. All anicca, anicca, anicca. Then it becomes clear. What is I? Is this material structure I? Is this mental structure I? Are these mental contents I? Are they mine? Do I really possess them? And the whole mind matter structure, it is myself? Is it myself? And it becomes so clear. For conventional purpose, we have to use these words. Actually, there is no I, no mine, no myself. Thus this mind-matter phenomena, interaction of mind and matter, a constant interaction of mind and matter, the mind influencing the matter influencing the mind becomes a cause for the arising of matter. The matter becomes a cause for the arising of mind. How these currents are going on within me, these cross currents, these undercurrents, and this is what I am saying, I. This is what I say, mine. This is what I say, myself. It's clear. Clear at the experiential level, then it is anatta. This anicca, impermanence, dukkha, misery, anatta, selflessness, egolessness, is not a philosophy. Is not to be taken as a philosophy, sectarian philosophy. This is not applicable only to those who call themselves Buddhists. Nothing doing. This is applicable to everyone. One may call oneself a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or a Jewish. It makes no difference. One may be black or white or brown or yellow, makes no difference. One may be a man or a woman, makes no difference. Everybody is just a bundle of mind and matter and constant interaction going on. And without knowing what is happening inside, one develops this I, this ego, this false ego, then tremendous amount of attachment to this false ego, which brings nothing but misery. All this is law of nature, which will become so clear, and it will become clear only by pativedan, the third step, piercing, penetrating, the panya, piercing, penetrating. So sati, if the awareness is not with this piercing, penetrating panya, awareness will not help you. Then you will always remain aware of the apparent truth. And you can't understand what the ultimate truth is, what the real truth is. The awareness is there. Very good awareness is there. With a circus girl who is walking on a tightrope. She is so much aware of every step she takes. Little awarelessness and she may fall down. Her life is in danger. Parts of her body are in danger. So she has to be very aware. But this awareness does not make her an arhant. Far away. Not even a sotapanna. Far away. Because she can't understand what's going on inside. She is only with the apparent truth. Similarly, a dancer dancing on the platform, she is so aware of every step, every movement of every limb of her body. Just aware of the apparent truth. Panya is missing. Sati is not perfect without panya. Sati patthana is sati with panya. One gets established in the awareness with wisdom. Wisdom of anicca, arising, passing. Or dukkha, misery. Or anatta, no I, no mine, no myself. And all that at the experiential level, The discourse of Satipatthana is for that purpose. Sati plays a very important part in the practice of Dhamma, in witnessing the truth. We have been talking about five friends in our usual discourses of ordinary 10-day courses. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. The five friends, your faith, devotion, and your effort, and your awareness, and your concentration, and your wisdom, your Panya. These are your five friends. In the words of Buddha, they are called five indriyas. The word Indra means the ruler, the king of the celestial world is called Indra, the ruler, the master. So indriya, there are two types of indriyas. One indriya is the sense doors, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and the body. They are indriyas. They are also called indriya. Why? Because they keep on mastering us. They keep on overpowering us. Every now and then we find that we become slave of one or the other of these five sense doors. So they are called indriya. So also these five faculties, they are called indriya because we become master of those five faculties. And sati is one of that faculty, awareness. Awareness. These five indriyas, in the language of those days, in the words of Buddha, were also called five bala. Bala means force, the strength. These five are our strength. For every meditator, for everyone who walks on the path of liberation, these five are very important strengths, and sati is one amongst them. Sati is so important. And then you might have heard the seven bhujangas, the seven factors of enlightenment. Amongst those seven factors of enlightenment, sati is one, and a very important one. You are aware. With every factor of enlightenment, you start with awareness and you are aware, you are aware, you are aware of every factor of enlightenment till you reach the final goal of enlightenment. Sati is so important. But sati is important and fruitful if we make use of it properly. And that is what that is what you will be understanding from the words of Buddha. The sutta, that means the teaching of Satipatthana. Tomorrow we will start reading this sutta. Today this background for you to understand that the most important thing is taking steps on the path, piercingly, penetratingly moving towards the ultimate truth, tearing away the apparent truth and moving towards the ultimate truth. And this is what you do by practicing vipassana. Little by little, step by step, you keep on dividing, dissecting, disintegrating, dissolving, and moving from the apparent truth towards the ultimate truth. Therefore, just reading these suttas or hearing these suttas, the discourses, should not become the aim of the life. There's a big danger there. We have to be very careful. All those who are running such vipassana centers now, and all those who will be running such vipassana centers in future for centuries, they have to be very careful that a vipassana center is a vipassana center. The purpose of vipassana center is patipatti and pativedan, the actual practice to develop bhavanamaya panya, your own wisdom which you witness yourself, from the grossest to the subtlest, your own wisdom. The wisdom that you develop, that you multiply by your own experience. This is the purpose of such vipassana centers. How vipassana got lost? One reason, out of so many others, was that people started giving importance only to the theoretical part of it. Just the suttas, the discourses of Buddha. One feels so satisfied having recited the discourse of Buddha, having recited the entire Tipitaka, memorizing the entire Tipitaka, one feels so satisfied. Oh, the purpose of my life is fulfilled. And then, having discussions, debates, arguments, the meaning of this word is this, not that. No, it is that, not this. Centuries after centuries, this is what remained, the practice was lost. confusion prevailed. Without practice, you can't understand the words of an enlightened person. His words are words of his own experience. He's not writing scripture for the sake of writing scripture. He's not giving discourse for the sake of giving discourse. He's guiding people. This is how I have witnessed the truth. And this is how you have to witness the truth. And if we stop witnessing the truth, and if we start playing games with these words, the discourses of Buddha, that will become a very big hindrance. Therefore, a vipassana center is only for meditation. We make use of these words, like we are going to make use now for this next 1 week. We read the words of Buddha, understand to get inspiration, to get guidance. What Buddha wanted us to do, how he wanted us to practice. But actual practice always will remain predominant. Because without practice, we can't reach the final goal. Again, it should be understood that we are not denouncing paryatte. We are not against the scriptures. We are not against the words of Buddha. How can one be against the words of Buddha? One who is practicing what Buddha taught, how can he be against the words of Buddha? But the words of Buddha should not become like final goal of our life. Practice should remain the final goal. We are, of course, very thankful. We are, of course, very grateful to the Sangha who has maintained the purity of the words of Buddha. There were some who maintained the purity of the practice as taught by Buddha, the Vipassana. We are very grateful to them because of them we got this wonderful technique. Otherwise it would have been long lost, as it got lost in many places. At least one tradition maintained it in its original purity. That's how we got it. Similarly, we develop great feeling of gratitude towards those who might have practiced or might not have practiced, but at least they maintained the words of Buddha from generation to generation, from generation to generation, for the last 25 centuries, from teacher to pupil, from teacher to pupil. They maintained these words. And that is how we can compare now, because questions keep arising. Whether what we are practicing, is it really the teaching of Buddha? Did really Buddha wanted us to work like this? Now how to prove that it is so? It is only the words which are maintained in its pristine purity by this school who felt that they are responsible for keeping the words of Buddha intact. And that is why they are called Dhamma Bhandagarika. They are like treasurers keeping the words of Buddha quite safe from generation to generation, from generation to generation. We are thankful to them. Let both be joined together. We understand paryatte, the words of Buddha, and we practice. We understand the words of Buddha and we practice. Then we get so much confidence in our practice. I am practicing as Buddha wanted me to practice. I am practicing in the right way. I am practicing in the proper way. These 7 days, we will make use of this particular sutta. Later on, it is not necessary that every student must study the entire Tipitaka, all the words of Buddha. Not necessary. If someone finds time to go through all that, wonderful, every word, as I say, is like a nectar. And for a Vipassana meditator, every word is like a guidance being given by Buddha, as if he is saying these words to me, for my purpose. To me he is guiding. Hey, you work like this. Hey, you understand like this. It will become so clear, so inspiring. But yet I say it is not necessary. Even a few suttas one has properly understood, good enough. Buddha says that even one gatha, even two lines, if you understood properly, and you work according to that, good enough to take you to the final goal. One literal meaning of this word pariyatti is, in Sanskrit or Hindi we say pariyapti, sufficient. What is sufficient for you to get inspiration and work and reach the final goal is pariyatti. It can be sufficient. One sutta should be sufficient for you to take you to the final goal. Even one gatha, one verse will be sufficient to take you to the final goal. For some larger, more number of discourses will be sufficient to give them inspiration to reach the final goal. But final goal will be reached only when you take steps on the path. Therefore, a warning for everyone who manages such vipassana centers here, around the world, now and in future, that practice of vipassana will remain the main teaching here, the main activity here, and the words of Buddha, like you get evening discourses. Every course you got evening discourse to understand how we must practice, which is the proper way of practice, and why we are practicing in this way, to understand it at the intellectual level, and to develop great confidence in whatever step you are taking. For that purpose, this evening discourses, and for that purpose, the pariyatti. Such centers can take up a few suttas, a few discourses, and discuss in the evening discourses so that people understand. But that should not become the main aim. Otherwise, these meditation centers will become pariyatti centers, where all the Tipitakas will be taught and people will be just discussing and reciting and debating and reciting, playing emotional games, devotional games, playing intellectual games, but not practicing. It will be a great misfortune. That should not be allowed to happen. So understand, these 7 days from tomorrow evening when we are reciting this sutta, it will be to understand the practical aspect of it properly, to understand the patipatti, to understand the pativedhan properly. Every step that we take on the path, let us understand it properly, so that we do not get diverted to something else. No deviation. We remain on the right path, the straight path which takes us to the final goal, without wasting our time here and there on some side issues. We are on the path. Just to understand that properly, this recitation every evening, the understanding of the words of Buddha every evening, but the practice will remain the same. Now you are on anapana. Keep on giving your time to the observation of respiration, the truth of the breath coming in, going out. This is sati. You are witnessing it. This is not merely because the book says so. This is not merely because your teacher says so. This is not merely because Buddha said so. This is nature. This is the nature of a living person. We are alive. So the breath is there. And I am witnessing this breath coming in, going out, coming in, going out, as it is. I am not making it a breathing exercise. I am not doing anything to regulate it. Just observing. Just observing. And as I observe, as I observe, as I witness, my mind gets concentrated, concentrated. Naturally, the breath becomes finer and finer, shorter and shorter, till it reaches the stage where it makes a U-turn. As it comes out, so it starts entering in. As it comes out, so it starts entering in. And you are aware of it. You do nothing. You are aware of it. And at times you feel as if it has stopped. And then again you feel some hunger for the oxygen, and again a big breath comes. And again you are aware of it. It becomes shorter, 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 shorter. It starts making a U-turn here. You feel it has stopped. And again a big breath will come. So if it's a big breath, you are aware. It's a big breath. It's a long breath. If it's a short breath, you are aware. It's a short breath. It's a short breath. You are just aware. You are aware of the reality as it is. Of course, at times when you can't feel the breath at all, it has become so subtle, then as usual you are permitted to take a few breaths intentionally, consciously, but that is just to help you to come to the stage where you start feeling the natural breath as it comes in, as it goes out, as it comes in, as it goes out. Understand, your usual courses are for 10 days and this Satipatthana course is only for 8 days. Time is short. You have to make use of this time most seriously. And being old students, you have got one wonderful advantage that in these usual, ordinary courses, you have quite a few number of new students which remain confused for a number of days what is happening. And they don't understand the value of discipline. They don't understand the value of silence. So they keep on disturbing. Now, there are all old students, matured students, having taken at least a couple of courses, maybe even more. So they understand how they have to work. And another thing that they understand, which is very important, is continuity is the secret of success. So far as this technique is concerned, continuity, continuity. You work for some time, and then you feel very lazy, you stop working, or you start roaming about, wandering about here and there, or you lie down and sleep, and then after some time again you start, you work a little, and then you stop working, you work a little, you stop working. You can't reach the goal. Of course, mind will wander away and again bring it back. It wanders, you bring it back, you wanders, it brings you. That is, your effort is continuous efforts, day and night. You have to work very seriously, day and night. There is no recess period for you. Even the times what are called recess periods, like from morning 6:30 to 8 o'clock, or day 11 to 1, and then 5 to 6, and night from 9 to 4:30 in the morning, they are also time for meditation, awareness. Satipatthana, sati must get established. Awareness must get established. So all the time you are aware, you are aware, you are aware. Now you are on anapana, you are aware of respiration, aware of respiration. Whether you are sitting or standing or walking or lying, whether you are bathing or washing, whether you are eating or drinking, or even when you are lying down, till the time you got deep sleep, you are aware of respiration, respiration, natural breath coming in, going out, coming in, going out. Day and night, only the period when you are in deep sleep, rest of the time, you are aware, you are aware. This is how the awareness will get established. The sati will get patthana, patittha pita. It becomes established, well established. And when you switch over to vipassana, then all the time you are aware of anicca, 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 arising, passing, arising, passing, day and night again. All the rules are so important for you. It's a very rare opportunity for somebody to get a course like this where there are no new students, only old students are there, with least disturbance, everybody is so serious. You got this opportunity, you got this facility, make use of it and get your awareness established with wisdom so that you come nearer and nearer to the final goal. Make best use of this opportunity. Make best use of your time. Make best use of whatever facilities available here and make best use of this wonderful Dhamma, the wonderful technique, for your own good, for your own benefit, for your own liberation, liberation from the bondages, the shackles, the chains of craving, of aversion, of ignorance, to enjoy real peace, real harmony, real happiness. May all of you enjoy real peace, real harmony, real happiness, real happiness. You may take rest for about 5 minutes. Take rest with the awareness of respiration. And then come back and sit and continue to work sitting. Awareness of respiration. Awareness of respiration. Maintain the continuity. Maintain the continuity. Now take rest. Take rest.